May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. To God, all-loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It has been a long time since the followers of Christ celebrated Jesus' resurrection separated from one another. It doesn't seem normal. It doesn't seem natural. This, the highest point of our Christian calendar, the greatest feast of the year, and we celebrate it in the solitude of our own homes. Perhaps even a little afraid, as we listen to doctors' predictions on how the virus will spread and how many lives could be lost because of it. But of course, this is not the first time in human history we have been forced apart as God's people. Flu and other epidemics have ravaged society before. Churches have been shut down before. Celebrations have been muted before. Perhaps not in living memory for us in this part of the world, but history bears witness that the resurrection of Christ has been overshadowed again and again by tragedy, sometimes due to human ingenuity, such as war, other times due to natural disaster. And then, of course, there is the sad reality that many churches stop celebrating the resurrection of Christ because no one comes anymore. The community folds. The congregation disperses. The doors are locked. The building is sold. This is not due to any sudden event, but due to the slow incredulity that creeps into the hearts of followers of Christ. People stop looking for Christ and consider all this church stuff pointless, pretend, unbelievable. Do you know what? Kind of like what happened at the very first resurrection of Christ. We are all aware, aren't we, that 2,000 years ago, Christ's glorious resurrection from the dead was overshadowed by the disturbing news of the empty tomb of Christ. Every resurrection scene in the Gospels is overshadowed by the fear, anxiety, incomprehensibility, doubt, and sadness of the first witnesses. "Christ is risen" was not the first Easter proclamation. "Christ is gone" was. I mean, at least if they could have had some shrine to turn to after Jesus' death, The community would have gathered around it for a while to remember the great teacher and radical prophet, but even that has been taken away by the empty tomb. I think of those people being buried on that island in New York, unclaimed, tomb upon tomb. Christ is dead, and Christ is gone. The first Easter. And the response to that news was not lily-filled joy, but rather a silent return to the business of life. In our gospel reading, the disciples return home. They rush to the tomb, yes. They gaze at its emptiness, yes, and then they go home. They go back to themselves, is how the original language describes it, their old way of living. Back to the work they did before that charismatic Galilean captured their imaginations and stole their hearts. They go back to their former spiritual confinement. They lock the doors. They turn in on themselves. They are afraid. They are sad. They are lonely. They are us, aren't they? Aren't we also at home? Locked behind closed doors, some of us afraid, some of us exhausted, some of us depressed. I've been listening to the news this week, and mental health experts are warning of an increasing mental health crisis the longer this social distancing continues. Our Easter is muted. Our lives have been put on hold. We're doing the best we can, given the circumstances, but come on, this is not the way to celebrate Easter, by sitting at home afraid of death. We are so like our first Christian ancestors. So what happened to them? How did our spiritual ancestors turn their locked doors into the open doors of the church? How did they move from fear and doubt to joy, faith, hope, and love? I think it's because one of them, Mary Magdalene, decided not to go home just yet. I think it's because Mary chose not to give up at the sight of the empty tomb, not to believe that Jesus was gone, but to keep looking for Jesus. Jesus can't be gone, Mary thinks to herself there at the tomb. That wouldn't make any sense. I mean, it's Jesus. He taught us the greatest commandments. He opened the eyes of the blind and helped those stuck in their ways to get up, take their mats, and walk. He doesn't just disappear, no. I know Jesus. He's got to be somewhere. I'll keep looking. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that he'd be gone. He calmed the sea. He calmed my heart. He raised the dead. He is the vine of all life. He is the living bread. He is the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. Wait a second. He is the resurrection and the life. He's not gone. I just haven't found where they placed him yet. I'm going to keep looking. Okay, yes, I see an empty tomb, but so what? That means nothing. He is the door. I just need to find it. I'm going to keep looking. Hey, you, gardener! Where is Jesus? Where did you put him? I know he's around here somewhere. I know he's not gone. He's the great servant of all who washed my feet. He can't be far. He is my friend. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Where is he? I will never stop looking. And in her looking, her eyes are opened. And there is Christ standing before her. She sees him who she kept searching for. She never went home. She never went back. She went onward, forward, and found Jesus there. So to us. Lift up your eyes, O Christian. Stop yourselves on your way to your homes, those old places of doubt, fear, and hopelessness. Turn around. Get back to that garden where Jesus was buried. Go. Search out the gardener like Mary did. Keep on looking. And your eyes will be opened. You will see the Lord. There, in the hallways of the hospitals, from the triage desk to the nurse's station to the doctor's office to the ones cleaning the floor, I have seen the Lord. There, in the hearts of our children's teachers, their ongoing care for our young ones and willingness to learn new ways of teaching, I have seen the Lord. There in the grocery stores, the essential service workers restocking our food and supplies, the cashiers, I have seen the Lord. There in the banging of pots and pans at 7 p.m., I have seen the Lord. In the working together of scientists around the world, say it with me, I have seen the Lord. In the pictures of hearts or Easter eggs in the windows of our neighborhood, I have seen the Lord. In the gathering of this community and communities like it around the world, dedicated to praying for the well-being of all creation, I have seen the Lord. In the longing for human connection, I have seen the Lord. In the faces on Zoom, I have seen the Lord. In the meditation of our hearts, I have seen the Lord. Yes, we are confined or in our own way at this time, but in no way does that mean Christ is still in the grave. Nope, we keep looking. We look at the screen, out our window, to our caregivers, and we boldly, confidently, faithfully, joyfully say, I have seen the Lord, our friend and helper. Amen.